Good afternoon, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be here at the Combine. It kind of gives the organization a chance to get to see the draft class of 2015. You know, got a chance to watch them compete and get a chance to talk to them. And that's kind of fun. So take your questions as we speak.
Jack, can you talk about this running back group? Is it a rare group in terms of that we could see a couple of first-round guys in three-down backs, with Gurley and Gordon, that type of guy?
You know, I think there's some exceptional players in this draft at the running back position. You know, we met with a few of them last night over in our team room. I just can't wait to get a chance to see some of them compete, you know, as they go along in this process. I know the guys that we met, we all like those guys. But from a sheer talent level, there's some really pretty special players in this year's draft.
John, what can you learn here as opposed to at a pro day or the Senior Bowl?
Well, I think they're two different venues. I think the first one is you're competing against your peers. You're competing against the guys that they've all, you know, heard about and seen about, and they want to measure themselves. With that comes along, you want to see them as a person, how they interact with each other. But I think the competitive nature of the individual kind of rises itself up in these situations.
How hard is it to judge great quarterbacks in today's college game? A lot of them got these wide open windows that they're throwing into. You know, that's not necessarily the way they're going to see in the league now.
No, you know, it's kind of interesting that the evolution of the spread option game has kind of expanded the field out. You see more high school guys prepared to play in that style of offense, and that is building its way up to the colleges and the pro levels. I think there are some really good prospects that are coming out in this draft this year. And, you know, again, it's my understanding that the top players are going to compete and throw, and, you know, that speaks volumes for those guys, and they're not afraid to not show who they are.
John, referring to a couple of last year's rookies, if you could just give us your comments, I guess, on the development of DeAnthony Thomas and Albert Wilson, kind of where they've excelled and maybe how their roles may expand moving into year two.
I think when you have excellent athletes and you combine that with really good coaches and teachers and allow them to develop, based off of their performance last year, I think they did a really nice job in terms of developing, filling that role that was needed to be filled. And as we've always said, in year two and year three, you know, you want to see great strides, and these guys will attack the offseason with a vengeance, and they'll come back ready to play, and we'll see where they are. But I think I'm very happy with both of those players that you talked about.
John, Coach Reed talked a little about the release of Donnie Avery and A.J. Jenkins. Obviously, it opens up a hole now on the roster. What are you seeing out of the prospects here at the Combine as you look at the wide receiver position?
Well, I think this draft class, I think the receiver position, I think there's some depth there. It's very similar to the draft class of last year, but I think the overall depth of this speaks volumes. There's players to be had in this draft class that can help contribute.
John, two straight years with the strong and deep wide receiving group. I mean, is that just coincidence, just one of those things? Or is it something that colleges maybe are doing to turn out better players?
You know, it could be. There's a trend coming here because of the way that offenses are now being, you know, ushered in, and how, you know, everybody's passing the ball a little bit more. Guys are becoming more skilled and more depth of running routes, of catching the ball. They understand there's a balance within that position to, you know, make some strides in the NFL. I think it starts down, you know, if you go around the country and kind of see these high school programs, they're starting to play this very similar offenses, and they're more prepared to get to the college ranks, and like I said earlier, into the pro ranks as well to play the game.
Could you share your thoughts on when Ron got elected to the Hall of Fame here a couple weeks ago?
I couldn't be happier for the man. From a professional and a personal standpoint, he's meant a lot to me, not only as a friend, but he's taught me from a professional standpoint, you know, how to do certain things the right way. If there's anybody, I think both Bill and Ron are, you know, they would be applauded for being elected into the Hall of Fame. You know, because I've worked with Ron so long, I think it's very meaningful for all of us who've been associated with him.
John, why do why wasn't Donnie Avery more productive for you? Why did he never become that player you thought he might be when you brought him in?
You know, the 2 years that Donnie was with us, you know, I applaud everything he's done for the organization. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out. Now, it was maybe certain things didn't work out for him. You know, he got slowed this year, and that kind of set him back a little bit. And then he got slowed the year before, that set him back. So he really never got to show his true skills of what he could do and help the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, and I wish Donnie all the best in the future to come.
John, with the emergence of Nile Davis last season, I guess in the name of preserving Jamaal Charles moving forward, or is that a player you're looking to get more involved as far as in the running back position and carries next year?
Well, I think any time in the National Football League you can have complementary backs, you know, to help Jamaal Charles, you know, to take some of the time off of him. I think that just helps the entire offense. It helps Jamaal down the road, and it now gives Nile a chance to get some experience to play the game. And as you move forward, when you have a coach like Andy who's really creative about putting guys in certain situations, that allows him to game plan even broader.
John, so many of the guys like Dorian Green-Beckman need to
prove
in his team when he comes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry. What does a guy like Dorian Green-Beckman need to show in his team when he comes here? Something like this with his history and stuff.
Well, you know, physically, we think he has all the gifts in the world. You know, we've all admired him. All of us who have been in the state of Missouri and the Kansas City area have seen him from afar, have admired his physical traits. I think now what people want to do is kind of get a feel for him as a person, see where he is at this stage, and just see where he is. And that's what we're doing. You know, we'll be meeting him in the next couple of days, and I look forward to it.
John, when you talk about seeing where things are, obviously a lot of roster decisions coming up in the next couple of weeks, Rodney Hudson, Justin Houston, Ron Parker, among others. How would you categorize the discussions right now with their agents to potentially get contracts done?
Well, that's the great thing about, you know, having some of the agents here in this venue as well, is it gives you a chance to have discussions with their representatives. You know, with that being said, you know, we'll have some questions. You'll have some questions with regards to various players that we have, you know, in free agency and stuff like that. You know, you've known me for, you know, a couple of years now, and I really don't like talking about the business of football in this venue. But I will say this: I love those guys. I'm proud of those guys. I'm proud of what they bring into that locker room, and you know, that's kind of what I have to say there.
When can we expect the next Chiefs wide receiver to score a touchdown?
Excuse me?
When can we expect the next touchdown from a Chiefs wide receiver?
Well, I think they don't play football until 2015.
Week one?
Yeah, probably
week one?
So.
All right.
John, what do you think of this year's tight end class, the options there?
The depth of the...
The draft class, yeah. What do you think of the tight end?
Well, I think that, you know, there's depth to be had. I want to see the whole body of work. I mean, right now, from my perspective, I'm kind of in phase one of the whole overall evaluation. I kind of want to see them compete. I want to see them amongst their peers. I think that there is some talent there. I think what's interesting is you're beginning to see a little bit more speed from that position start to show itself as we go forward here.
John, in the tight end position, what's the postseason evaluation of Travis Kelce, and does Anthony Fasano still figure into the plans moving forward?
Yeah, well, I think those guys, they did a nice job. I think Travis did a nice job when he was called upon to do it. I think Anthony did a very nice job as well. You know, unfortunately, like Demetrius Harris, he kind of got set back with that injury. But I was expecting some nice growth from him as well. It's good to see, you know, Travis has been in the building as we speak here, as well as Demetrius Harris. And I look forward to those guys in the offseason.
John, with these college guys, in that you have free agency and contracts, everything else that you've been doing.
Save it one more time, please.
How do you feel on being up to speed with all the college guys, considering you have free agency and contracts, other things that's on?
Well, I feel very good about where we are. You know, the personnel staff has been together now for 2 years. Everybody understands exactly what we're attempting to do here. You know, we've spent a good part of 14 to 15 days
UCLA
evaluating the complete
Brent
college draft class, and we meticulously
UCLA
went by there and did that. We kind of put them in a position of ranking, and now what we're going to do is kind of go and assess them as their abilities on the combine field. We're going to meet some of these guys, and we're going to take them into the the school workouts, but I feel very comfortable with regards to the overall feel I have of this draft class.
John, in that regard, you were just talking about your personnel department in the years, and drawing on your experiences in Green Bay, what does it take or what has enabled the front office you've worked in to have guys who have different responsibilities all pulling together for one, which, you know, obviously Green Bay has done it. It's very successful, yeah. Pittsburgh that way. What does it take to get that going? And why was it so successful in Green Bay?
It's, I would say it's a very selfless mindset. It's a servant mentality. It's open communication. It's, you know, it's the adult age. Just, you know, check your ego in. Let's go to work for one common goal. There's nothing like having a good group of guys around you all striving for that one ultimate goal. And we have that in Kansas City.
Is it hard to find that? I mean, you had it in Green Bay seemingly also.
No, it's chemistry. It's like anything in life. If you have a good chemistry and you have a good work ethic and guys are disciplined, I think, you know, and guys like to work and like to come to work every day. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's, we're all trying to get better each day in this thing. And that's what this group is all about.
Going back to Ron Wolf, John Snyder said today that he was almost intimidated the first time he met him. Were you ever intimidated, and what was that standard like?
I was intimidated a little bit, truth be told. I got that first phone call. I was at Rutgers University during I was doing a school day, and I got this phone call. I go, John, this is Ron Wolf calling. I go, yes, sir. How can I help you? He goes, do you know how to work this computer? I go, yes, sir. He goes, well, fly back here and show me everything that's in it. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I rushed to the airport and got back as quick as I can. And you know, ever since then, it's been a fun ride with him. Couldn't be happier for the man. I mean, he's anybody that's been under his tree will say the same thing. We have total respect and admiration for the man. And you have to pay, you know, your utmost respects for a man like that. Excuse me?
Where do you stand with Justin Houston in regards to his potential franchise?
I think Justin Houston is a fine football player. And I think what he did this year is, I mean, he did a wonderful job. And everybody, you know, we applaud him for that. His representative is in town, and I've had ongoing discussions with his representatives.
John, your evaluation of Dwayne Bowe's production in 2014 relative to his cap figure going into the 2015 season.
Well, you know, that whole the receiver is going to take some shots because there's no touchdowns. We all know that. You know, Dwayne does the little things that you didn't see. I mean, if you go back and do a cut up or third down situations, he really did some nice things on third down. He does the selfless things in terms of run blocking in that situation. You know, those guys work their fanny off. It is hard to play in the National Football League. And, you know, what he did, you know, he didn't, you know, he will probably tell you himself, he didn't live up to his high standards. But, you know, now we have 15 to come back on, 2015.
All right.